You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into Bleeding Green Nation Podcast. I am Michael Kist. Part of what we're going to do today for you, since there's a big announcement, I don't want to spoil anything, but Carson Wentz is back. That's right. Carson Wentz is back. And Doug Peterson detailed everything about that in his presser. So what we're going to do first is what you're going to hear is the press conference after the 27-21 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's going to be about 5 minutes of that post-game presser from Doug Peterson. And then after that, you are going to hear the announcement, the press conference from Monday, that Carson Wentz is back. Let's kick it over to those right now.
Well, that's what we talked about all week. You know, we had like five-plus 20-yard gains, I think, in the Atlanta game and against our defense, and then the couple today. And we talk about eliminating the big play. And then conversely, offensively, we try to create the big play. And big plays can come either in the run game or the passing game. And, you know, again, offensively, we were just so far behind, you know, in the first half, just with penalties or lost yardage, that it's tough. And you want to be able to, on first or second down, be able to, you know, shoot the ball down the field and do some things that way. But, again, we just got to look at it, man. We just got to look at it, each person, you know, man to man, and just own this game and move on.
Are you expecting Wentz for next week?
I'll talk about that later this week.
It seemed like we saw a lot more Josh Perkins than Dallas Goedert. What went into that decision?
Well, a lot of times, you know, with the tight end situation, you know, some of it's by game plan. Then when we lose some receivers, you know, we start having to use the second or third tight end, and then plus it's a complex thing because it starts moving bodies around, and without getting real specific with the game plan, because obviously you don't know the game plan. Just one part that goes down, then you have to adjust everybody else. And a lot of times it's easier with Perk in the game. Dallas played, but at the same time, it didn't change our receivers on the outside. It kept those guys, you know, sort of in their same spots. Again, you don't know, and this is not against you, but I'm just saying, without knowing the offense and the formations and the personnel that we have, it can be a chess match moving multiple parts on offense. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Yeah, I know it's complicated because you don't know the plan. That's nothing against you. I'm just saying when you don't know the plan, the formations, where we move guys and have guys specific in the game plan. If one guy goes down, now it shuffles the whole thing, and so it's we can keep it real consistent by just moving one part and not many parts. I know, I just confused you more. Sorry.
You mentioned this last year, but in week two specifically in Kansas City, you guys were able to rebound in nine straight. One of us story. Would that be a teaching point on your guys? That, you know, even though this one stings, this one hurts, it is early and we can learn that you get better from it and look what you did last year with Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, and listen, I can't go back and relive those days because it's a new football team, new season. Now, we're gonna learn from this and we're gonna be better. And I vowed to the team in there that we will get better. And obviously that starts with me. But, you know, we do have to remember what we did a year ago. But at the same time, I'm not going to pull back anything, you know, go back and start pulling out, any kind of memories, because new football team, new faces, and we got our own set of circumstances now to fix.
How big of a win did you get? You said earlier that
yeah, I'll talk more about it probably tomorrow, probably. Yeah, I thought you saw his resiliency. I mean, he took some shots early and stayed in there and rebounded, made some nice throws, good decisions, led a couple nice drives. But again, we'll evaluate it and we'll see where he's at, and everybody's got to look at it and make corrections and move forward.
In Jason Peterson's case, what information did you get?
Yeah, it was enough to keep him out. I didn't want to risk it any further with him in the game, and it was early enough to just if emergency situation if we needed to.
Did you try to go in and then come back out? It seemed like there were two.
There were a couple things. I don't remember offhand. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll get back to Philly. We'll check on him again. Probably have an update for you tomorrow. Okay. Thanks.
So that was the post-game conference from Sunday, and here is Monday's press conference in the Carson Wentz news.
All right. Good morning. Good afternoon. Apologize for being late. Sorry about that.
What did they say about Carson?
You've been waiting for this day forever.
For 12 months.
I know, for 12 months, right? No, he has been cleared. He has been cleared, and so we're all excited about that.
What were some of the final steps that he had to clear to be?
I'm not going to get into the whole report because it's lengthy, but I mean, just medically, you know, where from the date of surgery to where he has it today, through his, all his rehab, through 11-on-11, through, everything he did in the weight room, everything about it was a big part of, getting to this point.
Part that you start him Sunday regardless. I mean, did you think about giving him a week to be cleared for contact, or was this just a he's cleared, he starts?
I mean, he's cleared, he goes. I've said all along that he's our guy. We draft him to be our guy, and it's kind of like week one. I mean, a lot of your starters, guys like Jason Peters, Sproles, haven't been used to a lot of contact, whatever, a little bit in camp, but. We're cleared to go and we'll go.
The data you keep on Carson, can you kind of tell where he is compared to last year? Are there areas where you still expect him to kind of gradually ramp up, or what do those kind of numbers tell you about where he is physically?
Well, last year I thought he took a really big step forward in the situational aspect of the games, the knowing the down and distance, knowing where he is on the field, things that he took a big step forward last year. Obviously, with every year, we can continue to get better in those situations from a quarterback standpoint. But, I think just watching him, move around physically and some of the things he's done, I mean, just, he's ready. And he's ready to take the reins again and move forward.
What's realistic for him his first game back? He hasn't played football in a long time.
What do you mean, what's realistic?
Is he going to be the same player we saw last season right away, or is that going to take some time?
I think there's going to be maybe an issue or two. It's going to take some time to get back into the rhythm and the flow of the game. The speed of the game is different than the speed of practice, and so we do everything we can to try to simulate that during the week and try to prepare him that way. And listen, he's a guy that will be totally prepared. He comes in early, studies the tape, as do all the quarterbacks. Stays, obviously late in the day, asks a lot of questions, has a lot of ideas, he's going to be prepared mentally. Now it's just a matter of the physical part taking over.
Will there be any restrictions? Will you need to temper his aggressiveness?
No, I mean, in my mind, and we all felt the same way that he's cleared and there's no need to hold back. Now, we're still going to have conversations, no different when he was healthy. We're still going to have conversations about protecting yourself as we do with all the quarterbacks and, making sure we do the right things there. But there's no limitations.
As far as your play calling goes, Doug, as you're easing him in, making sure that he's not getting exposed a whole lot early on.
Well, I mean, think about the game yesterday. How many times did Nick get hit?
you know, and it's part of the game. You know, I mean, you can't – thing is, I'm not going to coach scared. I'm not going to coach paranoid. I'm not going to go in thinking, oh, no, we can't do this. We can't do that. You know, we just have to continue to go play. And I got to coach that way. And that's where the confidence with the team comes, you know, by doing that. But now if there's opportunities to, you know, max the protection and do some things there, we'll do that by game plans, by design. But I don't think that things are going to change too much.
What's the conversation like with Nick, who wins the Super Bowl MVP and now goes to the bench?
You know, the greatest thing for me is that room has no egos. And Nick all along has understood that this is Carson's football team. You know, we drafted Carson to be the guy. And you know, we owe a lot of gratitude to Nick Foles for what he's done, what he has done, obviously what he's done this season and how he's led this football team. And he's a pro's pro. So no egos. They check him at the door and he'll be very supportive, has been very supportive. And you know, we'll be that way from here on.
When you got the official word that Carson was cleared, was he in the room with you? Or
Carson?
Yeah.
No.
So did you then get to be the one to break the news to him?
Yeah, no. You know, actually, our medical team was able to meet with him and talk with him and all that. And, you know, we'll have more conversation today in these next couple of days, you know, going over the game plan and getting ready for Indianapolis. But he was not in the room. I mean, he's excited. He's ready. I mean, he was probably in his mind. He was probably ready a month ago, you know, but our plan was in place. He understood it and he embraced that. And now he's ready.
How excited are you that he's back? How excited are you?
Well, you know, anytime you get one of your starters back, it's great, you know, and, you know, I'm excited to get him back out there. But, you know, at the same time, it's not about one guy. And we can't lose sight of that. You know, we got other issues, you know, offensively, defensively, special teams that we need to coach up. And as exciting it is to have him back, your starting quarterback, we still have some other areas to fix.
On the radio this morning, you said that, you know, a team makes a miracle. And when you look at the healthy options you have on offense right now, do you think you have enough healthy playmakers around Carson? Right.
I think we're constantly looking at adding depth and talent at any position and every position, you know, and obviously that's probably the focal point right now. So we're constantly, you know, Howie and his team and Joe Douglas are constantly looking to help, you know, better our roster. And so we're in that process right now. Yeah, he, you know, again, he's a week-to-week guy. I'm not going to put a timetable on him. It's very similar to Carson Wentz. And when he's cleared, I'll let you know on him.
Doug, you said that Carson probably thought that he was ready about a month ago, and you alluded to this before. You know, what kind of process, how difficult was, I guess, to kind of massage his feelings in terms of his competitiveness about wanting to play and you guys obviously listening to the doctors?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a fine line, but, you know, there's I guess the thing too is just having conversation and being open with them, being honest with them and saying that, you know, and just reiterating, this is our plan for you, the health of you. And he and I having conversations and saying, listen, I want you to be, you know, regardless if Doug Peterson is here or not, I want your career to extend for many, many years. I don't want to rush anything, you know, any decision like this. So, he was very, obviously very appreciative of that and the fact that we were having conversations, you know, just about weekly, you know, this is for his benefit, not for anybody else's.
And so to follow up on that, you were reluctant to talk about the plan, so to speak, during the past month or two. Now that it's over, was this the plan all along to have him back for week three? Was this a target?
No. It was strictly a medical decision, you know, We put it in, the organization really put it in on our medical team and said, hey, physically, when is he going to be ready? And whenever that date was, you know, we were going to be ready to go. So it just so happens it's this week, but it was never really the idea or the intent that we got to say, hey, boom, let's focus on week three. Could have been week four or five. So who knows?
Do you know Mike Wallace?
I do not, but yeah. Yeah, so Mike suffered a fibula fracture in the game, and we'll miss the next few weeks, obviously.
How about Jason Peters?
Jason Peters, he had a quad in the game. Happened about the third or fourth play in the game. Tweaked it just a little bit, and so just couldn't put the pressure on it that he felt he needed to in the game.
IR for Mike Wallace?
Not yet. Not at this point. We're still going to evaluate. He's got a few more tests here in the next couple of days, but we know exactly it's a fracture, and that's going to be a couple of weeks.
Well, can you just talk about the whole? I mean, obviously now you have two wide receivers on the 53 who aren't going to play. Mac is out. You have a lot of inexperienced guys around Nelson. What are your thoughts on that whole position right now? And going up against the Colts with this group.
Well, that's why it goes back to us always and constantly looking, outside to help bring in some guys.
It takes a while to get a guy. I mean, can you bring in a guy who can help you?
I think a veteran player, if you just ask me, a veteran player would be a lot easier to work with than a young rookie player, to get him caught up, plus a guy that's had game experience, definitely going to have to, rely on the tight ends more. Going to have to rely on the running game a little bit more, kind of lean that direction, until we can figure this out.
Does that mean that when you say rely on the run game and tight ends, do you after these two games kind of go back to the drawing board a little bit with usually like three wide receiver sets, and you haven't used Goddard or two wide receiver sets as much as three? Are you going to reevaluate that and look forward, or?
Yeah, we'll evaluate that this week, as we do every week. But again, when we put game plans together, we try to utilize, our Zebra 11 personnel, 12 personnel, with the two tights and all that kind of stuff. I think we've had in the past some advantages there, from a personnel standpoint. But we're dealing with it right now. We're working through it, and we'll see where we're at on Wednesday when we go to practice.
What advantage you say you have out of your 11 personnel? Is it more the what kind of defense usually responds to that you like to do things?
A lot of times a team comes in with a third corner typically, or moves a corner into nickel, and it's a difficult situation. Plus we can get a little more speed sometimes on the field, and those are all things we'll have to evaluate in the next couple of days.
Has Braxton Miller been here long enough to make an impression on you at practice?
Well, he had. I mean, he's made some, an impression. But he's another one that we got to continue to coach up and see where he's at. Because he hasn't had any really exposure to our offense yet.
In talking with Zach Ertz, said the expectation can't be Carson comes in and is Superman and fixes everything. From your perspective, how much can improve by having Carson?
Well, I mean, I think he's accurate. In that statement, Carson's not Superman, obviously. It's going to take all 10 other guys around him, to get it done. Listen, I as far as the execution, I mean, he's going to see the same things that Nick was seeing, from defensive structure to blitzes, protection, the whole thing. So, we just got to make sure that we have those guys coached up, and that he's going with the right, going to the right places with the football and making the right decisions in the run game. But I don't think it's an attack one way or the other on the quarterback position.
A couple more in relation to Carson. What changed in 2 weeks? And how important was the 9 months?
I mean, that's important. I mean, and I'm not a doctor, but I'm assuming that was a big factor in the decision. It was just the extra time to heal and to get stronger, with the injury.
When the organization is looking for help on the outside, and there's players that have a little bit of a past, what are the things that you're looking for, the questions that you want to get answered before you feel comfortable kind of signing off on a move like that?
Well, there's a lot of things. And I think the biggest thing, just, not only can they play football, obviously that's an important part of it, because we're always looking for guys that can help us in any position, and can they play ball. But, you also want to, particularly look at guys that can they – how well will the current team embrace players? We've seen it over the course of the last couple of seasons. You know, when we bring a guy like Jay in, you know, and how the team embraces him and surrounds him, or LeGarrette Blount, and these guys turn out to be, you know, awesome individuals and great teammates and great players. And so, you know, you lean a lot on the character and the culture of the football team, you know, a lot. But you know, can the guys that you want to bring to your team, can they help you win? Can they help you win football games? But again, it's not an all cost decision that you make moves like that.
So much of Carson's game last year was using his legs to not just scramble, but to buy time. Is he going to be able to do that right away? Does he have the mobility right now?
I will see.
Hey guys, this is John Stolness from The Good Fight and the Phillies podcast, Hittin' Season, where I talk to Phillies beat writers, broadcasters, and fellow Good Fight bloggers, as well as national baseball writers, and the occasional interview with Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler. Also, you'll get Continued Success, a Phillies podcast hosted by Justin Clue and Liz Rocher, covering all things Phillies, and The Dirty Inning, a hilarious podcast hosted by Justin and Trevor Strunk, looking at the very worst innings in Phillies history. Make sure you are subscribed to The Good Fight podcast feed.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising, with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast came from SAS. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze. And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.